You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
In today's day and age, it is very easy to see all your savings getting wiped away by one event, whether it's a job loss or a health crisis. Hence, it is important to be prepared and keep an emergency fund or a contingency fund already in place. In today's episode of Why Not Mint Money, we are in conversation with Avinash Luthria on how one can build up an emergency corpus and be prepared in advance.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hi Avinash, welcome to the latest episode of Why Not Mint Money. It's great to have you here. So Avinash, without wasting any more time, let's get straight to the heart of the topic, and that is how to build an emergency fund. So Avinash, can you tell us, before getting into that, why should anyone care about having an emergency fund in the first place?
An emergency fund in the normal meaning of the term, the term itself is a little vague, but the normal meaning of the term is to take care of unexpected medical emergencies. And the second is a temporary job loss, which is always possible in modern careers. We don't have government jobs. We can any day be fired from our job. Normally it could be a couple we're talking about, but for simplicity, imagine it was just one earning member in the household. It keeps it simple for the sake of a podcast. So these are the two meanings of the term emergency fund. And then if you ask why is that important, just because those two things just cannot be predicted, which is a medical emergency and a temporary job loss just cannot be predicted. And by we need to get from there to steady state back in our life without complete chaos in our life. So either we get hit by a medical emergency or we get hit by a temporary job loss. We need to get to the future state where, the medical emergency is solved or we are back in a job and able to earn and support ourselves. So, these are two fairly obvious reasons why one needs a emergency fund. If not, there can be fair amount of chaos and loss of, even harm to our ego in terms of that period when we are desperate.
Okay, Avinash, and also emergency fund, if I'm correct, would also help somebody tide over without touching their other equity savings. If somebody is just in the initial stage of beginning an equity investment portfolio, they would ideally not want to touch it and let it compound. So if they have an emergency fund, if I'm correct, that would help in that respect also.
Yeah, my thinking on the emergency fund is a little, little different from normal. I'll just give you my thought on it.
Yeah.
My thought is that the emergency fund is essentially all of your net worth, which is liquid. And we'll talk about what is all of your net worth and liquid mean. So then it becomes a question of what size is it and how liquid is it? And there can be different degrees of liquidity. The point you raised about it could be in certain assets or investments which are volatile. And at the point at which you lose your job, the stock market might have crashed and you may have to pull out from money from it. It's a valid point, but I somehow worry. I want to keep it a little simpler for people. So I would rather, deprioritize that aspect. I know everybody prioritizes it, but I would rather keep it a little simple for people and just say there are two main dimensions of it. One is the quantum of how much is your net worth to take care of how many months of expenses. And the second, how liquid is each of those pieces of it? Because liquidity itself has degrees to it. And maybe I can talk about a few examples further on.
Yeah, sure. Please go ahead into that.
Okay, so let me just first talk of, the quantum, okay, just because it's an easier topic than liquidity. So, let's just take a step back for a second. What is going on over here? What is going on is we all have desires in the immediate term. We have a one bedroom apartment, we want a two bedroom apartment because, it's really a pain living in the one bedroom apartment. We want to go on that nice, interesting vacation. There are so many desires, which are very legitimate desires we have. In a sense, the emergency fund is a psychological tool we are using to negotiate, or a boundary we are using to negotiate with ourselves, saying, don't touch this. This is sacred. Even if you want to go on that vacation, you want to buy a new car, you want to move to a two-bedroom apartment. No, that's sacred. Don't touch it. It's more of a tool to negotiate with ourselves. So now coming to the question of the quantum, you know, it's very hard to quantify how much we need for many of these things. So a medical emergency, how much do you really need? I mean, there's really no limit to it. A temporary job loss, for how long can it be? 6 months, 12 months, 18 months? Could vary based on your field or profession. It could also vary based on your seniority. The more senior you are, the harder it is to find an equivalent job to what you lost, which will meet your desires, etc. So, you know, just throw a random number. This may not be correct, but just imagine to take care of these two you wanted, just as a rule of thumb, 18 months of expenses. Some might say this is too little, some might say this is too much. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm just saying as a starting point for debate. Imagine a couple that spends 1 lakh a month, 18 months of expenses, about 18 lakhs. Let's say they keep 9 lakhs each in each of their names. A couple that spends 2 lakhs a month, 18 months would be 36 lakhs of expenses. They keep 18 lakhs in each name, each of their names, because if she has a medical emergency, he has to be able to handle it. If he has a medical emergency, she has to be able to handle it. So that's more about the quantum. This doesn't mean that this is the right amount, the perfect amount. You cannot need more than this. I mean, who gave you a guarantee that you'll get a job in 18 months? There is no guarantee, right? But it's a starting point for thinking of this question. And then we can come to the liquidity bit. Shall I move to that?
Yeah, please. If you can tell more about that.
The most urgent kind of emergency, which is a medical emergency. Most urgent in terms of how much time you get to respond or how problematic it is. So the typical thinking on a medical emergency is, oh, okay, I have health insurance either through my job or my personal health insurance, and that will cover the medical emergency. However, that can fail for a couple of reasons. I mean, some people don't even have medical insurance, but even if they did, it could fail for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, you might have a medical emergency and then get fired from your job, and then you don't have the company cover. Or you may have a personal cover, but the insurance company says, no, you cover it. Yeah, there is some language that says, you know, we, the insurance company, will cover it. But, you know, we think you were driving under the influence of alcohol. You please cover it and we'll see later. After that, you come back for a reimbursement. Doesn't happen too much, but can happen. You never know these things. It's better that you control your future in that sense. So the key point for a medical emergency is that even something we consider very liquid, I mean, even by the term of it, a liquid fund in a mutual fund, takes 3 to 4 business days to redeem. Technically it's 3 business days, but you know, from a layman perspective, it can even be 4 business days. We can talk about that nuance if it's relevant, but 3-4 business days can become very easily 5 to 8 calendar days over a long weekend. That is just too slow for a medical emergency. So you need money in a savings account, FD, etc., and not a joint FD, because joint FDs are more difficult to break. Imagine you and your spouse have a joint FD. If one of them is not there to sign, it's a little hard to break sometimes. And you know, people often say that, you know, I have a credit card. Fair enough, but sometimes, you know, I'd rather you have full control of that money. Sometimes people have a huge credit card limit. Okay, so be it. So I would say that, you see, this is one example already that we're saying, you know, liquid funds are liquid, but are they liquid enough for a medical emergency tonight? No, they're not. So there needs to be enough liquidity for that. And as you go down the spectrum, you find different kinds of illiquidity. So a PPF or government employee provident fund has its own illiquidity. And we normally think of, okay, I can go to the post office and try to, or the SBI where my PPF is, or the bank where my PPF is, and try to break it. But in the middle of a medical emergency, do we really have the time to go doing all that? So liquidity has to be seen as liquidity in the times of a crisis. Yes, for a job loss, we have the time to go do all that, but not for a medical emergency. So the second dimension, as I said, first dimension is the quantum. The second dimension is liquidity, which comes with its own strings attached.
And if you can talk more about it, you know, what's an ideal product where you should be parking such funds? Liquid funds is probably a no-go, if I'm correct, because the time it can take for you to get that money in your account. FD, you mentioned savings account. Anything else you can, you know, give some clues to our listeners on what kind of products they can consider when thinking about such funds?
Yeah, so I would say that because there are two meanings of emergency fund, one is medical emergency and the second is temporary job loss. But the medical emergency is a bigger problem where you need to keep money in a savings account or a FD or whatever. So I do push clients to have some amount of money in that for medical emergencies. But for a temporary job loss, any mutual fund with 3-4 days, business days redemption is good enough. So, you know, for this couple that we spoke about, you know, the couple that spends 1 lakh a month, keeping it's hard to quantify exactly how much you need for a medical emergency, but you can make some budget for it, saying, okay, this is the amount I'm keeping for medical emergencies. And beyond that, you can have it in a mutual fund. It's so be it, like an arbitrage fund or any other mutual fund. It's okay.
You know, when it comes to emergency fund, people also sometimes, think that, okay, I have a certain equity investments, I can withdraw that also. Is that thinking fine? Because that is also liquid in that sense. I mean, I did make a mention of it. But how do you think people should go about, in your sense, when interpreting these kind of investments as something that can help them in their need of the hour?
Yeah, my thinking is a little non-traditional, non-typical on this front. I am actually okay with people having their money in even equity mutual funds that are volatile. I realize that there is a downside to what I'm saying, that at the time of job loss, the market has crashed. Back in 2008-09, the market crashed. I mean, even Nifty 50 crashed 59%. So, 1 crore in equity mutual funds became 41 lakhs. So it's pretty terrifying. But I think it's okay. I think there's enough of complexity to financial planning. I think it's not critical to try to say that the entire emergency fund should be only in non-volatile assets. In the beginning, for someone who's at the early stage of their career, anyway, the asset allocation, I would hope, would be fairly conservative. So, imagine someone who's just started their job. They were still building up their ability to handle equity volatility. So anyway, I don't think their asset allocation should be very high. I know that people keep saying that, young people can have very high equity allocations. I think the catch there is, young people also haven't had the time to develop that ability to see, how do I react when a big amount of money falls 59%. So I would say better to build it up slowly. And since that's anyway going to be happening, to the extent that, you just apply some rule of thumb to your net worth, saying 40% in equity, so be it. I think you can live with that.
Basically, we are saying here that if the quantum of investments is large, if your savings, even in equity, is large enough, then it's okay. You need not have a separate emergency corpus built in, say, debt instruments, etc. But if you are just starting out, it would be good that you have that separated in a debt sort of instrument. Because when the sums are large, it's fine. You can still withdraw small amount from your equity or whatever and leave the rest as and when you need it.
Yeah, I'm telling the story to the client or to the listener that, you're young, you're 25 years old, you haven't really faced an equity crash with a large amount. Even if, 40% equity was your target, start off with 10, 20, 30, slowly get to 40. And in that process, anyway, equity would not be a very large part of the net worth.
Thanks a lot for joining us today and sharing all those insights. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and, listen into what you have to say on some of these important topics. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If you liked this episode and would like to hear to more such interesting conversations, do log into our channel Why Not Mint Money on Spotify, where you'd always find me omnipresent. Also, if you have any new ideas or suggestions, you can DM me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @JashKriplani, that is JashKriplani. You can always reach out to us over the email. Our email ID is mintmoney@livemint.com.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.